I'm going to show it to you as an example, and then I'll give you a few minutes to try this in your lab. And we're looking at page 46 in the book. So it's a command line tool. I asked you to install it, and my preference is to put it somewhere in my system's path, like system32, so it's available to me for me directly from the command shell. Office Mouse Scanner. It gives you some usage information. It's a command line tool that can do a lot. And the particular example that I'm going to be using for this is in the day 5 folder on your DVD within VB macros. And for this one, I'm going to use vbmacro.xls. This is a sample pseudo-malicious file that I created for this exercise, and it's got a pseudo-malicious macro embedded into it. So let's say one of your victims gets hit with one of these documents. You get the XLS file, and you need to know what's in it. Well, usually you start off by saying Office Mal Scanner. Then you give it the name of the file that you want it to scan, vbmacro.xls, and then you type info. And that'll give you information about this file, and it is able to parse it. It gives you some information about its structure, which now, right now we don't really care for, but what we care for is what's at the bottom. It says, VB macro code was found inside this file. The decompressed macro code was stored here. If it finds macro code within a document, it'll automatically extract it. That's very convenient. And it tells you where it places it. It creates this directory. In this case, it's called vbmacro.xls-macros. So let me look in there. The directory that it says created. Here it is. And you see you got a bunch of files in here. An Excel document has multiple sheets in it, and every sheet can have its own macros, plus you might have another set of macros for the overall Excel workbook. So you can look at every one of these just using Notepad. And one of these has a macro that was extracted from it. Look at that. Here's the macro that we extracted. What does this do? Well, just a bit of VB script. And it says that as soon as that workbook is opened, I want it to run the following command. It's going to ping localhost, and then it's going to run notepad.exe. I got this off the web because I'm not a big VB macro guy, but this is a code that shows you that you can run arbitrary commands from within a Microsoft Office document. Here I'm running ping. This is just my way of telling it to wait a little bit, and then I'm launching Notepad just, you know, because I can. Not a big deal to analyze. This is reasonably easy to read. And because we have a tool like Office Mouse Scanner, now we know how to quickly pull this out. So give this a try. The instructions for this begin in your books on page 5-46. And I just want you to go through page 47. So 46 and 47. I want to make sure you can pull out and look at the macro within this file. And we're looking at vbmacro.xls. It's on your DVD. Now, of course, this is a legacy format of Microsoft Office. These are the binary files. And newer versions of Office support XML-based formats. This tool will work with the newer formats as well. Let me show you how that works. So let's say you've got one of those new Office formats. It's XML-based, and those formats have new extensions. So it's no longer XLS. It's XLSX, for example. Here's one other good news, specifically for those newest versions of Microsoft Office, which is, what, 2007 and above. So in those new documents, like .docx, PPTPX, XLSX, they are not allowed to have any macros. If they have any macros embedded into them, they're going to be ignored. The newer versions of Office requires that if a document has a macro, its extension's name will end on M. So if you cannot have .docx, it's got to be .docm. Not .xlsx, no, .xlsm. That's kind of good, but of course attackers realize this, so if they're going to send us a document that follows the new format that has a macro embedded into it, the attacker just needs to remember to give it the proper extension. But it is also nice because now if you're doing some kind of filtering at your gateway, you may be able to filter out documents that have these extensions. Without these extensions, the new versions of Office will not support macros. But let's say one of these gets through to your environment. How do we analyze the new versions of these documents? Well, these documents like XLSX and DocX, they're actually just zip files. I don't know if you realize that. They're just zip files. You can extract them using WinZip or pkanzip. Or in this case, what I did is I took this macro file that I created, bbmacro.xlsm, because it has a macro embedded into it. I renamed it to be .zip, and then in Windows, I can just say extract all. It's built into Windows. Or if I had another zip extraction file, I could extract it. So before you analyze, before you look for macros within the new versions of these document formats, you got to extract them first. You can extract, yeah, XLSX also is a zip file, but it won't be allowed to have any macros in it. Or rather, it can have macros, but they're going to be ignored. So here's an example. I've got this one on your DVD as well. vbmacro.xlsm. So it's just a zip file. I could extract it using built-in unzip capabilities, but if I just right-click on it, Windows does not give me unzip. I have a built-in another program called izarc that I could extract if I wanted to, but I'm just going to change its name to .zip, and now I can easily extract it. In this case, I'm going to extract it using my izarc tool, but any unzipper will work. And here you go. And now you can look in here. Now, if this is a file like XLSX or DocX, and you've embedded some images into that file, you can actually see those images as regular files within the zip file. The format works that way. It's a very well-structured, easy-to-parse format. It's XML-based and it's zip-based. So any files you embed into your XML-based Office documents are going to be available to you as zipped files if you extract contents of that file using unzip. Now, if you don't want to do this, actually, Office Mouse Scanner can extract it for you from the command line if you really want to. So what I would do is vbmacro.x... Oh, let me rename it back to the way it was. It wasn't .zip. I called it XLSM. And now I can say Office Mouse Scanner and vbmacro.xlsm inflate. It's the same thing as unzip. So when I do this, not only does it extract it, but also it notices that in there, there's a .bin file. What does this mean? Well, if there's a macro embedded into one of these new XML-based formats, then that macro is actually going to be within a file that has a .bin extension within the archive. So if you see this, right away you might think there might be a macro in this document. And here's how you need to extract it. Once you've extracted this XLSM file, either you used inflate or you used unzip, whatever you used to extract that archive, you can go into that directory. Let me show you where it is. XL. You know what? Let me extract this from scratch. In this case, it says that it decompressed it to my temporary directory called decompressed office documents. So you know what? I'm just going to go there. Temp. Decompressed office document. And now I need to look in here for a file with a .bin extension. It's usually going to be under XLS. Here it is, vbaproject.bin. So in an XML-based format of new Office documents, you can extract them using inflate, you can extract them using unzip, and you look for a .bin file. Usually it's going to be called vbaproject.bin. And now this is the file that contains a macro. So this is the file that you need to scan again using Office Mail Scanner using the info option. So now that I've located it, I'm going to say, I would like you to scan it using info. Well, let me show you what happens if I do that. I'm going to say Office Mail Scanner. I'm going to give it that full path to the file. It's a long path. .bin, right? And then say info. And when it does this, it'll notice VB macro. It'll create a directory. In this case, it's called vbaproject.binmacros. And same as before, there is my VB macros in here. So if you're dealing with a binary legacy format, you can scan it directly with info. If you're dealing with an XML-based format, the only thing you got to do first is unzip the contents and look for that bin file, and then you scan it using info. It'll extract the macros the same way. Any questions about this? Works the same way, just that extra step is involved to extract contents from the zip archive. So that's all that's involved to look at macros within malicious Office documents. Not a big deal, but these macros are very powerful, of course. And they don't require that Office has any vulnerabilities. It's just a feature of Microsoft Office. Now, what about vulnerabilities, though? Of course, Microsoft Office might have vulnerabilities. We've had some before. We will have more in the future. Attackers try to target those vulnerabilities. Here's the good news. The good news is that the new Office formats, XML ones, parsing those documents is easier than parsing legacy binary formatted documents. So the likelihood that those parsers will have a vulnerability is much smaller than if you're looking at an attack targeting the parser for binary Office documents. Those were really hard to parse. And that's why if you look at all of the exploits that came out from Microsoft Office, all of the ones that I have seen were targeting legacy parsers. These were all .doc, XLS, and PPT files. So what I'm going to look at is how to parse those legacy binary formatted documents and locate exploits and shellcode in there. XML ones, we never have to deal with them. Those have been so stable, no vulnerabilities that I know of, because it's just an easier to parse format. In most of these legacy malicious Office documents, like .doc and XLS, here's what they contained. There was, of course, an exploit of the vulnerability, some kind of a buffer overflow. As part of that exploit, there was payload that was implemented as some shellcode. And also embedded into that malicious Office document, usually, there was directly a malicious executable. Now, it's possible, of course, to have shellcode download the executable on the fly. That's definitely possible. But most of the malicious Office docs that I have seen embedded the malicious executable directly into the document, so no downloading was required. Also, usually within this malicious Office document, there's a benign document so that the victim doesn't realize that anything bad has happened. So you're saying, where is that benign document embedded? Usually what I have seen is all of these components contained within a single malicious document. Within that malicious document, there was the malicious executable and the benign document directly embedded into this one big file, so no additional downloads were required. But of course it's possible to have a malicious doc that downloads these on the fly. But the ones that I have seen had everything directly within the doc. Now, to be able to execute this malicious executable and to be able to extract and open the benign document, shellcode needs to locate its payloads within memory of the vulnerable application. So here's what you will oftentimes see within shellcode that runs in a malicious Office document. What this shellcode will need to do is it's going to scan memory of the vulnerable application, the one that it's targeting. And within that application, it'll look for a copy of its own document. So let's say it's a malicious doc file, and it is successfully able to exploit a vulnerability in Microsoft Word. What you will see in the shellcode is that this shellcode will scan the memory of Microsoft Word looking for a copy of its own document so that it can parse that document and extract from it the malicious executable and the benign document. But when I say it's going to scan memory of Microsoft Word, I'm not being exactly accurate. It could scan memory, but there is an easier way to do this. What it usually does, what it has done in the past, is it actually looked at all the open handles within the Word process. Because Microsoft Word has handles to all the files that it currently has open, like all the DLLs that it needs. Also, among those handles is a handle that points to the malicious document that it has just loaded. So shellcode, instead of looking for that malicious document on the file system, will look for it in memory by iterating through all the possible handle values, and it will look for its own document, and in most cases, it will use get file size. Because Microsoft Office, Microsoft Word, has lots of handles open to lots of files. It's going to look at all those handles, and it's going to find that file that matches the expected file size. That's how it's going to know that it's the malicious doc that it needs to parse to extract its own components from within the malicious Office document. So, to be able to examine these malicious documents, you need to be aware of the fact that these binary Office formats, like Word, like .doc, like Excel, like PPT, their format is not easy to parse. The format is called the structured storage, only structured storage. And Microsoft envisioned that this would be a file system within a document. So it's kind of like a FAT or NTFS, a file system, but within a file like .doc or .xls. And so there is this notion of storage, but the term storage in this context refers to a folder. There's also a notion of a stream, but within this context, that's like a file. So these legacy Office documents, they can have within them files and folders. But the terminology is that stream refers to file, storage refers to a folder. And so, for example, an XLS document has a workbook stream within which all the contents are stored. PowerPoint uses a different stream. It calls its stream PowerPoint document. And Microsoft Word actually uses lots of different streams. So you might imagine that parsing this is hard. Only recently did Microsoft Office actually publish the format publicly. And if you read that format, it's really hard. And that's why people kept finding vulnerabilities in code that does this parsing. I've got an example for you. Here's a malicious Excel document. Now this is a document that was part of a targeted attack. It came out during Olympics or prior to Olympics. I think these are the Olympics that were held in China. And it was an Olympics-related file name. It was sent to the targeted organization via email as an attachment. And if you actually search for contents of what looks like a benign file, this is what it looked like if the victim opened it. You will actually find it on Google somewhere, this exact document, just without the malicious payload. So the attacker found a benign XLS file and embedded his malicious payload into it and then emailed it to the targeted organization. So this was seen as part of a targeted attack. And here is what the victim saw. Let me show you. I got a virtual machine that has a vulnerable version of Microsoft Office installed. This is Office 2003. And you got this document, this malicious document, on your DVD in malware, day 4, and I'm looking at this one, olympicage.zip. So the victim received this via email, just the XLS file. Here it is. Now, let's see what happens. We can do actually behavioral analysis. Even if you know nothing about parsing Office documents, if you install a vulnerable version of Office into your lab, you can use the same tools that we've used before, like CaptureBat and RagShot, and you can launch those tools, and you can see what's going on in your environment while you're infecting it. So I can launch CaptureBat, for example, and now, as the victim would, I double-click, and look at what happens. Did you catch that? It was very fast. Excel opened but then closed right away, and then a second later it opened again, and it was now showing us this document. So what usually goes on behind the scene in these exploits is that a vulnerability in Excel, in this case, is targeted, shellcode executes, and the shellcode extracts from within the malicious document and saves on the file system the malicious executable and the benign document. And then Excel crashes. But the malicious executable is already running, and it will open Excel again, this time with the benign document. So the user looks at this and says, oh, okay, that's good. I'm glad to have all the email addresses of some people related to the Olympiad. But what's going on behind the scenes is that the system was already infected. And if you looked carefully at contents of your log file that you may have been creating, let's say here, let's see, I don't know if I can show you anything quickly that has happened. Oh, here I can, let me look closer to the top. Yeah, a lot of things scrolled past my screen. So in this case, look at this. Excel is creating this temporary file called io.exe. That's interesting. Why would Excel be creating an exe file? And then later on, you should be able to see this file being launched. cmd.exe is being launched. So you can actually see behaviorally quite a bit of what goes on. Even if you don't know how to analyze the document itself, you can look, you can do behavioral analysis. And if you use capturebat-c, that's going to capture any files that were deleted in the background. Here's the approach that we're going to use. In addition to behavioral analysis, here's what we're going to do to examine malicious Office documents. We've got a couple of tools that can scan an Office document and can try to identify an exploit. The tools are OffViz from Microsoft and OfficeCat from SourceFire. These tools are there, but you know, they are not really being updated anymore. So you might as well use them because they're free, but the key tool for us is going to be Office Mail Scanner. Office Mail Scanner, before we used its info option to extract macros. If we think we're dealing with a Word or Excel or PowerPoint document that has an exploit, we're going to use the scan option to scan the document. And Office Mail Scanner is very good at noticing shellcode, at noticing embedded Office documents, and at noticing embedded Excel executables. I'm going to show you that tool in action. I think you're going to like it. So this is OffViz. OffViz is available from Microsoft. It's designed to show you the structure of the binary Office document. It can handle Excel and PowerPoint and Word. It can show you the hex view. You can parse the structure. And if it can, it'll try to identify the vulnerability. Now, this is becoming less and less useful because Microsoft does not seem to maintain this tool. But if you've got some of the older vulnerabilities that are being targeted, it will be able to identify them. Also, if you really want to manually look through this document, you can parse its structure using this tool. But the reason I'm saying it's not all that useful is because in most cases, Office Mail Scanner can actually automate a lot of this stuff for me, so I don't need to do this. Another tool that you might find useful is OfficeCat. It's available for free from SourceFire. It's a command line tool. It scans the document on the command line, and if it can, it'll identify the vulnerability that's being exploited. It's kind of handy because it gives you a sense for what you might be dealing with here. But here's the thing. This tool identified the vulnerability as CVE-2008-3005. CVE-2008-0081. These tools don't agree sometimes. So it might confuse you. One of these tools is right, or maybe both of them are wrong. Maybe both of them are right. Maybe there are multiple exploits embedded into this. So keep in mind that these tools sometimes get it wrong. Don't trust it blindly. But the tool that really is most helpful is Office Mail Scanner. And here's why it's wonderful. Remember all of those shellcode patterns that I talked about? It knows how to recognize all of these. Common variations of those patterns. For example, it knows how to locate the common patterns for locating EIP, for locating kernel 32. It also looks for API functions, not just by name, like URL download to file, but it also knows how to look for code that scans kernel 32 by hash of the function. It's got all of these signatures built into it, and of course it won't always work because it's signature-based, but it is able to catch the most common variations of this shellcode. Very cool. In addition to this, Office Mouse Scanner knows how to look within the Office document for embedded Office documents. If you have an Office document that embeds an Office document, that in itself is not malicious, but it is a little suspicious in the context of your investigation. Yes? Are these configurable? Is Office Mouse Scanner configurable? It is not configurable. It's a free tool, but I don't think source code is available for you. I think Frank Bellwin is the author of this. I guess he accesses the configuration file. He is very open to talk to people. So from what I have heard, I've only interacted with him a little bit, but usually he's very approachable. So if there's something that you think the tool should have, you might be able to email him and convince him to add it to the tool. It knows how to look for Office documents because it looks for this well-defined, well-known signature of OLA, which is what Office documents have within them. So it looks for this sequence of bytes. If it finds them, it says there's probably an embedded Office document. And better yet, if it finds an embedded Office document, it'll extract it for you. So you can analyze it if you want. Also, it looks for signatures of embedded executables. It will look for the MZ header and for the P header as well, which is very convenient. If it finds an embeddable executable, it'll extract it for you. So you can analyze it even without having to infect your system. So let me show you this tool in action. I've got this Olympicage XLS. Let me go to my virtual machine. To use this tool, you don't have to have Microsoft Office installed. So I'm going to go to my virtual machine that does not have it, just to keep it more lightweight. And I'm looking at day 5, Olympicage. And this is on page 62 in your book, if you want to follow along. So I go into the desktop, and if I think this might have shellcode, if it's targeting an exploit, if it's targeting a vulnerability of some sort, I'm going to say Office Mal Scanner, scan this Olympicage document, scan in the option, is the option, S-C-A-N. And look at what happens. Let me show it to you in my slides. It scanned the malicious document and it looked for FS30. Remember FS30? It noticed it and it says, hey, there's probably shellcode in there. It looked for API hashing signature. This is how it looks for load library A type functions. It even found jump call pop. Jump call pop is one of the ways in which you get EIP. All of these indicators suggest that this is probably a malicious file. This is shellcode that has all of those patterns that were known to be malicious. And better yet, it found an embedded OLA signature, and it extracted what it thinks is an embedded Office document. And this is the benign file. If you look at it, that's the benign version of the Excel spreadsheet. This is great. Not only it automates this for us, but it also gives us insight into what might be going on inside of this document. If you want to try this, go ahead, but I'm going to take a 20-minute break. So if you want to play with this, you've got some time during the break. I'm going to be around, of course, so for those of you who are experimenting with this, let me know. I'm going to be able to walk you through this, but I don't want to take time out of class to try this. That's why if you're curious, try this during the break. We just handed out a new cheat sheet. This one is specific to analyzing malicious document files, Office documents, PDF documents. This is the kind of stuff we're going to be covering throughout this morning. And if you want an editable version of this, you can grab one from my website, zeltzer.com. I have a Microsoft Office version of this cheat sheet. It's in .docx format, so it's less likely to be vulnerable than the legacy format. You're welcome to edit it and modify it in any way you see fit. So we talked about Office Mail Scanner. It's really good using its scan option at scanning through a file, a legacy, a binary Office document, and locating signs of malicious shellcode. It also is able to detect embedded OLA structures, which is an embedded Office document. And if it can, it'll also look for an embedded executable as well. But there's an even better way to call scan, and that is to tell it to scan brute, to brute force its way through this Office document,
And this way, it actually looks for encrypted payload. Because you see, a lot of these embedded benign document files and embedded executables are stored in an encrypted form to bypass signature-based detection. So what if you call it with brute, what it does is it will not only look for plain text versions of the signatures of executables and OLA structures, but it will also use common encryption algorithms that are based on XOR and AND, bitwise AND and bitwise XOR, and it'll go through the keys, one-byte keys, from 0 all the way to FF, similar to the way XOR search would do it. And if it identifies a signature of an embedded executable or OLA document, it'll extract it. So look at what happens here. Plain text executable was not visible, but when I called it with a brute option, scan brute, look at this. It's able to identify in their APE file that was stored using add key 01. Add is just another operation similar to XOR that obfuscates or encrypts encodings. And in this case, the one byte key was 0x01. So it found it and it extracted it, which is very cool. It saves it as a bin file, but you see, you know that it's a regular Windows executable PE file. Now in this particular case, it actually, the extractable executable is not runnable. It extracted it, but it did not extract it correctly. But you know, it's still not too bad because you can still take that extracted file, you can still load it into its assembler, you get some warnings, but you can do some static analysis on it. So this is pretty handy. But of course, in this particular case, it did not extract it correctly, so you may need to then do behavioral analysis. And as I showed you earlier, we could use CaptureBat to capture that file nice and clean. And I have a copy of that executable that was dropped, io.exe, in your zip file, in case you want to do some analysis on that executable. But our goal is to get to the point where we've extracted it. And sometimes scan brute will work, sometimes it'll work almost, but not quite. And that's where we would need to do some behavioral analysis if we wanted to proceed further. So in this case, for those of you who will end up experimenting with this on your own time, if you examine using our traditional Windows executable analysis techniques, the file that drops, io.exe, the one that was stored within the document encrypted, it'll create a bunch of DLL and sys files, it'll start a clip update service, and it'll try connecting to this IP address on TCP port 90. What else does it do? Well, I actually have not analyzed it, but you're welcome to do it if you're looking for additional samples to play with. Let's look at another example. This is a malicious PowerPoint document. It was sent out to victims as part of as a malicious attachment. And this one, here's the hook was this. It was testyourmind.ppt. And the idea was, every single slide it embedded in here had some kind of an optical illusion. And you were asked a question like, how many horses do you see on this picture? You know, and people would say, wow, that's so cool, I didn't realize there are horses in there, but now that I pay attention to it, supposedly the answer to this particular question is 7. Somewhere in here there should be 7 horses on this picture. It's fascinating stuff. But of course, while the person was looking at these slides, they were getting infected behind the scenes. So I do have a copy of this if you want to test your mind within your lab. It's testyourmind.ppt. Now, if you scan this document with OffVis identifies that there is an exploit in there. It's targeting vulnerability CVE 2006-0022. If you scan it with Office Cat, it actually does not identify a vulnerability. But that's okay. At least we have something to look into, even though sometimes this gets it incorrectly. All right. Now, what about scan brute? Scan brute. If you tell Office Mail Scanner to scan through this executable, even using the brute method, look at what it shows you. It shows lots of signatures of malicious shellcode. You see there is a reference to FS30, API hashing signature, embedded names of dangerous API calls like get proc adder and load library. It notices a call and a pop, which is a signature to get EIP. So all signs point to this being malicious, and we know that there's shellcode in there. It even tells you the offsets where these instances of various shellcode instructions reside. And yet, it is unable to locate an embedded PE file or an embedded benign document. So we need to do a bit more manual analysis, but Office MouseScan will still help us out a little bit. It'll help us because it was able to identify shellcode. So what we can do is we can actually extract this shellcode, create a standalone executable out of it, and then analyze that shellcode as an executable to see what it would try to do on the vulnerable system. The way to do this, if you think you're looking at shellcode, let me show this example to you. I'm going to revert my virtual machine where it's not infected, and in this case, I'm using a system that doesn't even have Office installed on it. The example is test your mind. I've got the PPT file in here for you to play with. And as before, I'm going to use Office Mal Scanner. Test your mind. If I scan brute, it's brute forcing the various keys in the SOAR add algorithms, but it won't find anything. But it did find some hash values. Now, let's say I wanted to there's shellcode here at various offsets. I can pick any one of these, and I can look to see exactly what kind of shellcode is there. For example, I picked this one. I mean, I picked various ones, but this one turned out to be most promising in my experiments. So if I want to look at shellcode right there and disassemble it, I can say, Office Mouse Scanner, I would like you to scan debug. If you do scan debug, I mean, it scrolls by very quickly, but it actually shows you disassembled code. You can look at it, and it even shows you data structures that are not necessarily code. It shows them to you as data. Look at this, embedded Safari, Firefox, whatever that is. So you could do a bit more manual investigation, and let's say you look at, well, you can look at any one of these. And you can say, oh, look at this, there's a call and a pop. That's a get EIP. Usually that occurs in the very beginning of shellcode. So this is at least one instance of shellcode that it might be worth looking at and extracting and analyzing more carefully. And this particular one begins at the offset 90C53. You can look at every one of them. There might be multiple instances of the same shellcode embedded in several locations within the document. Maybe that's just how the exploit made sure that the shellcode would get executed. Once you've located shellcode that looks promising to you, you can actually use this tool to extract it and embed it into an executable that you can debug. And this is possible because Office Mouse Scanner has a tool called Malhost Setup. It's part of Office Mouse Scanner Toolkit. And Malhost Setup allows you to extract shellcode and create an executable out of it, for Microsoft Office specifically. And here's how you use it. You say, Malhost Setup, you point it to the malicious document, you tell it how to name the resulting executable, and then you give it the offset where you think shellcode begins. And now when you do this, it'll actually generate an executable called out.exe, where that shellcode was embedded into. And this executable will be runnable, so you can debug it. Let me show you what's involved. Because here's the problem. If you take this executable and you start debugging it, what you'll find yourself debugging initially is going to be a bunch of setup where it's going to be setting up the environment. This tool is specialized to Microsoft Office, so the environment that it sets up is actually more comprehensive than what you would get if you use the more bare bones script like shellcode to exe. So if you start debugging out that exe, you'll actually find yourself stepping through a lot of general environment setup code. So there's a better way to do this. The better way to call Malhost Setup is to call it with the option wait. And here's what it's going to do. What this is going to do is it's going to, yes, create the new executable that embeds your shellcode into it, But it's also going to patch the first instruction of that shellcode. It's going to replace those bytes that happen to be in the very beginning of your shellcode with new bytes that represent an infinite loop. This way, when you run the resulting out.exe file, it'll set up the environment, and then it'll just keep looping, waiting for you to start debugging it. This makes it pretty convenient for you to quickly find yourself in the beginning of the shellcode that is worth analyzing. Now, in this case, what it is doing actually is it's going to be removing from the beginning of shellcode the bytes E800, and it's going to replace them with a jump that's going to implement infinite loop. So if you're going to debug this, you're going to need to remember to put these bytes back to the way they were. And let me show you how to do this. So, I'm going to show this to you, and then I'll give you a chance to try this in your lab. I'm using malhost setup, test your mind, and I'm saying create out.exe, extract shellcode from this offset, 90C53, because from my previous analysis, it looked like this is the beginning of at least one instance of shellcode, and I'm saying wait to add that infinite loop to the program. Now this created out.exe, it's telling me that it replaced these bytes, and I need to remember what bytes it replaced, E800 in this case, so I know to put them back. Then what I do is I load out.exe that it created into OLEDebug, and then I just run the executable. This executable is now running. It set up its environment the way it should have been, and now it's in that infinite loop. So it's not actually starting to execute my shellcode. It's waiting for me. And now all I need to do is click pause. And where I'm going to be in that infinite loop. Here it is. Look, this is a jump to A3073, which is its own instruction. So it just keeps looping for this instruction, waiting for me to pause, and now the actual meaningful shellcode is below. I can step through this and see what this does. But if I truly want to execute it, I need to patch this infinite loop to put back the bytes that were removed from there. And the bytes were E800, so I'm going to put E800 in there. I don't need to assemble. I just got to double click on the bytes. And this is, to do this, you need to do Control E. I have this in your slides. This is binary edit. So in its place, I got to put E800. Now, I've got, look at this. It's a call and a pop. It's get EIP. And now I can step through the shellcode and start understanding what it does. I'd like you to give this a try. I want to make sure that you're able to find yourself with an OLEDebug about to begin debugging this shellcode. The instructions begin here on slide 73. The instructions begin on slide 74. So 74 all the way until 77. I want you to do what I just showed you. I want you to create out.exe with the wait option, and I want you to know how to load it into OLEDebug so that I know you know how to begin debugging this shellcode. You'll also need to put back the bytes from the original shellcode using OLEDebug. 74 until 77. So as one reminder, after you load out.exe into OLEDebug, you need to remember to run the executable by pressing F9 or by pressing the play button, because once it runs, only then you can click pause to find yourself in the beginning of that shellcode. So for this exercise in your lab, I just wanted you to find yourself in the beginning of that shellcode, and I wanted you to be able to press Control E to edit it so you can put back E8 and 00 that was removed. How do you know that this is what was removed? Well, you need to remember that when you run malhost setup, it shows it to you in yellow letters, so you end up having to write it down. This way, you know what to put back into the code once you're in that loop. Any questions about this process so far? Well, once you have this shellcode that you can debug and only debug, let me show you. I've got some screenshots in your book, but I wanted to show you a few things. You can now, what I typically do is this. Now what I might do before I begin stepping through the code is I might actually launch Capture Bat in the background. Just so that I see anything meaningful, anything big that happens while I'm stepping through this code. I might also have a sniffer running at the same time. And now I can just press F7 and start stepping through the shell code. Let me increase my font size a little bit. So now, you would analyze it the way you'd analyze any code. In this case, I'm pressing F7, and just I'm keeping an eye out for interesting strings, interesting references to API calls, just seeing what's going on. Look at this. I'm inside a loop. And look at what the loop is executing. RAR rotates to the right. It's one of the common ways of obfuscating or encrypting content, like SOAR or SHIFT. We're rotating to the right, and it looks like the key is 0D. So you see, I keep pressing F7. It keeps stepping through this. It looks like that's what it was using to decrypt some kind of embedded content. So you might be able to see that. If you see yourself in a loop that uses those bitwise shift or rotate or XOR operations, it might be trying to decrypt itself. Now, I've done some of this analysis already, so let me show you a few interesting things. I can set a breakpoint on WinExec, because that's what it ends up using. WinExec. Let me set a breakpoint there. And now I'm just going to run this code to show you something. So far, nothing really interesting happened according to CaptureBat. So I run the code, and now I'm paused. It's about to call WinExec, and WinExec is one of the ways to execute a program locally. And look at what it's executing. It's executing file reg.exe within temp. And if you look at CaptureBat, hey, look at this. This out.exe happens to have created file reg.exe in temp. It was probably extracted through that loop that I was iterating through. So I fast-forwarded the analysis because I just set a breakpoint on WinExec. But you see, in the background, it already extracted this file, and it's about to execute it. It's about to really infect the system. And if I press play again, I should be able to hit this breakpoint again. And this time, look at what it's executing. cmd.exe/cstart PowerPoint, and what is it starting it with? It doesn't fit. It's a temp file. Dropmail. Dropmail is the name that that Office Mail Scanner accepts, assigns to any dropped files that it notices the shellcode is trying to use. So it is actually about to launch a PowerPoint to load the benign document in there. So this is the kind of analysis that you would go through. Of course, I did it very quickly for you now because I had already stepped through it, looked for interesting things, and that's how I knew to set a breakpoint on WinExec. But if you don't know that, then you step through the code and you just keep an eye out on interesting system calls, on interesting strings, on interesting loops, and you analyze it the way you would have analyzed anything else that's compiled on Windows. Any questions about this example? It's a very typical example. This is normally what you would go through. So even if Office Mail Scanner is unable to automatically extract the embedded executable, you can still do that by running through the shellcode. And it's really useful to have a tool like CaptureBat running in the background. In some cases, you're going to find that Office Mail Scanner, for whatever reason, is unable to help you. Even though it's a pretty good tool, there are some unexpected things that you might encounter. And in those situations, you might have to roll up your sleeve and start using a hex editor and manually carve this file. It really is painful. Nobody likes doing it. Well, I don't like doing it. But sometimes you might not have a choice. The good news is that Office Mail Scanner is able to handle most things that you're going to encounter in the world of malicious Office documents.